The following message is a presentation of the Sun Life Radio Network.
Open your Bibles this morning to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 11, commonly called and referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. We believe here at this ministry that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Some don't, but they're wrong. We do. Now, why do we believe that? Number one, you got to know why Hebrews was written. It was written to Jews who had accepted Jesus Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but for whatever the reason, they were doing one of two things. They were either trying to keep the law and grace together, and it cannot work. But the greatest problem and the greatest reason for Hebrews being written was because many of the Jewish believers were turning their backs upon the finished work of the cross and adopting once again the law as the means of salvation. In other words, they were saying salvation does not come through what Jesus did at Calvary, but it's in the keeping of the law, when they had thousands of years of history that no man ever kept the law except Jesus Christ. So Hebrews had to be written by someone that knew the law of Moses as no man of that time frame. And there's only one man that fits that category, Paul. Number two, he did not put his name to it for the very reason that he was hated by so many in the Jerusalem church and the false apostles, false prophets that were trying to bring not only the Jews, but Gentiles back under the law. They hated him to such a degree, he felt like if he put his name on this great letter, that it would be dismissed out of hand. But I believe from the context and the way everything is worded that there is no one except the Apostle Paul that could have written the book of Hebrews. So it's a book of rebuke. It is also a book that reminds us that the new covenant is better. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. Jesus Christ is greater than just the animal sacrifice. There's nothing greater, hallelujah. You could describe it this way. Hebrews just tells us greater and better. We have a greater covenant, a better covenant, based on better and greater promises. Reading one verse, verse number 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, and here's my verse, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I want to read that again. He had this testimony that he pleased God. How many of you in the building this morning and watching, you want a testimony that pleases God? If you can't raise your hand to that, you're not saved. But every one of us, our heart's desire should be to have a life on this earth that our life, which is our testimony, pleases God. And you cannot have a proper testimony without having a proper belief system. And we're going to touch on that today. I'm ministering the testimony that pleases God. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that we have already sensed in the service today. Anoint me to minister the word and anoint your people to receive the word. Help, Holy Spirit, help our people receive, rightly divide the word of truth. Take the word of God to their hearts. And that it not just be words, but there would be fruit that would come from it. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to give you just a little brief remarks on Enoch, this great, great man. The Bible tells us in Genesis 5 that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. When you read the family history of the previous six men listed in Genesis 5, they all end with the same three words, and he died. And he died. But when you read the seventh, which is Enoch, it does not say, and he died. It says, but God took him. God took him. What do you mean by that? I mean, in prime of his life, God translated him. Lifted him up from this earth, and guess what? Enoch is still alive today in his natural body, going on nearly 6,000 years. He's alive right now. He's alive in heaven right now. You're not getting it. I said he's alive right now in his natural body, waiting the completion of his ministry. And what is the completion of his ministry? Revelation 11 tells us the two witnesses. There's only two men in Bible history that are still alive, that have never died. Enoch and Elijah. And Revelation 11 tells us at the halfway point of the great tribulation, all of a sudden Enoch and Elijah is going to appear on the streets of Jerusalem. And for 3.5 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they will prophesy the word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. They will not have to eat. They will not have to drink, but for 3.5 years, their voices will proclaim what's coming. And anyone in the domain of the Antichrist that tries to kill them will be burned up with fire immediately, struck down, because there's a hedge that's going to be around them. And then when they get to the final end of the prophecy that God has given. Yeah, that's a long prophecy to prophesy 3.5 years. Their voices will stop, will immediately close. They will be killed. Their bodies will lay in the streets of Jerusalem. Those that are the followers of Antichrist, they will shout. They will rejoice. We finally got them shut up. But then the Bible says after 3 days, they're going to rise up. They're going to rise up. I said they're going to rise up. I said there's going to rise up. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout about that. Hallelujah. I get a million people, they all call mother's prayer. Well, how can they be alive in heaven in their real body? God is God. He can do anything. Well, the Bible says it's pointed unto once a man to die. That's true, and they're going to die. But not until God is through with them. Now, let me help you. You're not going to die until God's through with you. Preachers, you will not taste death until the ministry that God has called you to shall be completed. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to shout. Somebody needs to praise the Lord. People tell me, are you scared to fly? I ain't scared in the least. Well, planes crash. So what? I know that my ministry is not through. Therefore, I know I'm going to get to where I'm going. And furthermore, Delta Airlines needs to pay me to fly. Because the plane will get there. Oh, somebody needs to shout on that. He's got a plan for you. And you're not leaving until that plan is over. Oh, man, you got to get that. You got to get that. Preachers, you're going to preach until the Lord says, you've said everything I've told you to say. You've been my faithful servant. Now it's time to go home. And it's either going to be in death or when the trump of Almighty God sounds. Hallelujah. I've already asked the Lord, Lord, when that trump sounds, I don't want to be in bed sleeping. I want to be watching TV. I don't want to be sitting in a restaurant eating. When that trumpet sounds, I want to be standing behind a pulpit with the Word of God Almighty in my hand, preaching the Word of the Lord. That's how I want to go out. Hallelujah. Three and a half years prophesying, day and night. That's a divine miracle. They will never be hungry. They will not be thirsty. Some of you are having a hard time wrapping your head around that. But don't worry about it. God's got it all under control. As well, Enoch was a prophet. He prophesied of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in just a moment. The Bible tells us also in Genesis 5 that Enoch was 65 years old when he gave his heart to God, telling us, you're never too old. You're never too old, and you're never too young. Got saved when he was 65, and the Bible said he walked with God for 300 years. His translation by God was a portend of the great universal translation that is coming for the body of Christ called the rapture of the church. Oh, hallelujah. As he was translated, we're going to be translated at that sound. Oh, hallelujah. It's important to note that in Enoch's time, there were only three men, the Bible records, before the flood as living for God. Abel, Enoch, Noah. I hear so many people say, it's just so hard to live for the Lord today. That's baloney. It's never been easier to live for Jesus Christ than right now, because number one, we have the finished work of Calvary on our side. Number two, we have the completed Word of Almighty God. Number three, we've got the mystical body of Christ that's made up of believers of every tongue, every tribe, every skin color, all over the world. We've got a big family. Hallelujah. But imagine being the only one out of millions that stood for righteousness, that stood for truth, that never wavered in their faith and in their commitment to the Lord. So I say, and I'm right, it was harder then than it is now. That's what makes Enoch such a great man. Enoch was the father of Methuselah, the oldest man to live in the Bible, 969 years. Methuselah's name, listen to this, it literally means the deluge shall be sent when he is dead. Let me read that again. Methuselah. The actual name meaning is the deluge shall be sent when he is dead. That tells us that before Enoch was translated, that he told Methuselah what was coming. He witnessed of it. He prophesied of it, because Noah knew it as well. But the fact is, Methuselah refused to believe and to accept God. It's hard. It's bad enough to live 1 year as a sinner, but 969 years? Now, there's a lesson there that shows us the hardness of man's heart. But it also shows us the mercy, the grace, and the long suffering of God that he allowed him to live 969 years trying to bring him in, trying to draw him in. You serve a big God today. You serve a God that will never leave you. You serve a God that will never, listen, the church may turn their back on you. Your family may turn their back on you. The world may turn their back on you, but Jesus Christ will never kick you to the curbside. He will go with you even until the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. You can be in the ditch having made a fool out of yourself, but Jesus Christ will get down in that ditch with you, pick you up, clean you up, and set your feet back on a right path if you'll just repent and let him. He's a good God. He's a good God. I get so irritated, these Christians. Well, the Lord's up in heaven just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can squish you like a bug. That's baloney. He's looking down on you right now, said, how can I bless my child? How can I bless my child? What can I do good for my child today? I wonder if my child knows that he's the apple of my eye. I wonder if that saint knows that she's the apple of my eye. When I look at her, I don't see all of her faults. When I look at him, I don't see all of his failures. When I look at them, I see my son Jesus hanging on the cross, shedding his blood and atoning for their sins. I ain't letting that go. You're the apple of his eye. I said, you're the apple of his eye. I said, you're the apple of his eye. When he looks down on you, he smiles. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of, oh, my Lord. Woo! Your mama may think you're pretty, but she ain't God. God says, you are the apple of my eye. Hallelujah. That's the way I am when I look at my grandkids. They're the apple of my eye. And don't you dare look at them crossways. Don't you dare say one word against them. I will backslide and beat the ever-living daylights out of you and then repent. Now, I hope you know I'm joking. A little bit. Now, there's some truth there. They're mine. Amen. They are flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. I will do for them what I won't do for myself. And Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross did for you what you could not do for yourself, which was to save you. Hallelujah. Now, somebody, is this a wedding band? Well, I'm going to keep it. You can get it after church. Now, don't fit that finger. Don't fit that finger. Yeah, it kind of fits that finger. Whoever it is, we'll receive an offering in the back, and you can... I was a runner for 30-plus years. You'll never believe the things I found when I was running. I found $100 bills. Found dollar bills, $10 bills, $20 bills. I found change. I remember one time running, and it was just a whole lot. I kept like, what in the world is going on here? Quarters, nickels, down a log trail. What did you do? I stopped, picked them up. What do you think I did? What'd you do with that $100? I picked it up, put it in my pocket. That's what I did. I was in the middle of nowhere. I found a knife that's still, it's just still in my truck today, 25 years ago. I found a knife in a pocket. I said, I like that knife. Went home, cleaned it up. It's still in my car right now. Never opened it, but it's there. Now, there are three things that the Bible tells us about Enoch. Number one, he walked with God. Number two, he witnessed for God. And number three, he pleased God. Now, what a compliment. Let me say it again. Three things that the word of the Lord says about this man. He walked with God. The highest compliment a person can pay you is for them to say they walk with God. That's the highest compliment. He witnessed for God, meaning prophesied, and he pleased God. Genesis 5:24 is the first mention. The Bible said, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Not going to go through the whole thing, but God took him. He was translated at the age of 365 years, as I said, in order to be one of the two witnesses, along with Elijah, that will come back to this earth to proclaim the mighty power of God. Paul, writing, would talk about this and say of Enoch that he was not found, meaning that his translation was known by all around him because they went looking for him and they could not find him. Therefore, they knew the only logical conclusion, because they had seen him go, was that God had him. One day when the trump of God sounds, there's going to be a lot of people that didn't make it looking for us. Looking for somebody to tell them the truth. Looking for somebody to tell them what to do. That's why you need to do it now. Enoch walked with God. Now let's look at that. This statement denotes a devout, pious life. It denotes a person whose heart, whose mind, whose spirit, whose soul was given over to one thing only, his love for God. Now, do you understand that? It just doesn't mean a casual, oh, yeah, I'm walking with the Lord. No, no, no. It speaks of the character of the man. It tells us that yes, there were cares of life in Enoch's day, just as there are today. You had to put food on the table, clothes on the back. But yet, his sole focus in his life was Jehovah. To walk with God, you have to understand the character of God. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you may not. The problem with the Protestant church today is because too many of them are not saved. They don't understand the character of God, or they wouldn't be doing some of the dumb things they do in church. He understood. He had a relationship. Actually, that understanding, and I'll prove it to you in a moment, it was based on the coming of Christ and his death on the cross. He had an understanding of the cross to come. And I'll prove it to you in just a minute. And that's what kept him walking. What did I say? If you believe right, you can keep walking right. Is anybody here this morning? You cannot know God's character without a knowledge of the Word. Without knowledge gained through prayer and fellowship. You cannot know the character of God without proper faith. The problem in the church is we got too many people who know about God, but they don't know God. That's why they come into our churches bound and they leave bound. There is a philosophy, but there is no power. Actually, in Baton Rouge, or any city in the world where there are so-called Christians gathered together, I wish I could say this was not right, what I'm about to say, but I'm telling you the truth. 90% of them have a philosophy of Christianity, and they have no relationship or understanding of Christianity. Therefore, the Lord is just some man in the sky. You know, we all get excited. I see it all the time. You know, this athlete says I'm saved, or this famous person, and yet you're reading an article and they're cussing every other word. Well, don't castigate them. They may be a new believer, okay? Just, you know, you didn't get everything cleaned up when you got saved, right? Hello? But if it goes on as a continued pattern, I don't care how many Bible studies the team has that they go to, I don't care how many times they read, they've got a philosophy. They've embraced the philosophy of religion, of Christianity, because it will make you feel good. But they have no relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not a philosophy. It's a relationship. Enoch had a relationship with God. Hallelujah. And we can have the same relationship. Oh, I got her. Jude 14. It's the next time we read of Enoch. It said, and Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. That's the second coming. That's the second coming. In the age that he lived in, only three known to live for God, and yet he prophesied of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You cannot prophesy the second coming without first having some revelation given to you of the first advent of Jesus Christ and him dying on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. Now, let me break that down for you. Actually, this is what it says in the Greek. It actually says, his holy 10,000s. His holy 10,000s, which also means an innumerable multitude and an unlimited number. When that trump sounds, it's not just going to be a few, but there's going to be so many. There's going to be so many. There's going to be so many leaving this earth that when people look up at the sky, there will be so many of us in the sky, it'll look like clouds. Oh, hallelujah. God's church is bigger than you realize. Hallelujah. He prophesied of that coming great day, the second coming. One of the reasons God has raised up Sun Life Broadcasting Network is to bring back to the church correct teaching in Bible prophecy. The vast majority of the church knows zero about Bible prophecy. They've borrowed a little bit from here. They've heard this one say this. They've heard this one. They can't. And I'm not talking about new believers. I'm talking about people. I've been saved 55 foot, I've got 55 years. And they can't even, they don't even know the difference between the rapture and the second coming. They can read the scripture. They say, oh, that's a rapture. No, it's talking about the second coming. They don't know. And then you got preachers over television telling you, well, you're not going to go in the rapture. There's no such thing. Well, there's no rapture, there's no resurrection. Any person that says there's not going to be a rapture has just stated, I do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Word says, was the earnest, the down payment, the fruit of a resurrection that is to come for the entirety of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So if they say that, I'm going to say, well, you're not saved, because you can't deny the resurrection of the Lord and be saved. Then you got those, well, you're going to have to go halfway through the tribulation. Why just halfway? Why not 3 weeks, 4 days, 27 hours? Others, you're going to have to go through the whole thing, all 7 years. Okay, brother, let's just listen to me. Now, what's the reason why that we need to go through all 7 years? It's the answer. Well, it will purify you. Honey, if the blood of God's Son that was shed on Calvary's cross was not enough to purify you, then this, what we have, there's nothing to it. But I got news for you. On Calvary's cross, when the Lord shed his blood, he was the sin offering. Oh, hallelujah. He was the whole burnt offering. He was the trespass. He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And his last words, it is finished. Hallelujah. And you suffered a little bit, it's not going to make you any purer. The blood of Jesus Christ either makes you 100% pure or you're not pure at all. We believe, teach, proclaim, and we are 100% correct that the child of God that's in Christ will not spend 1 second in the great tribulation. But that trump is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in the clouds, not the cumuli, but the multitude of saints going up to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. At the rapture, we're going up with him. At the second coming, we're coming back with him. I said at the rapture, we're going up to meet him. At the second coming, we're coming back with him. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to be dressed in white. Riding horses. I don't like horses. I probably told you. I'm getting like Daddy. I don't remember stories I told. Last time I rode a horse, I'm 63 years old. It's been well over 30, maybe 35 years ago in Adelaide, Australia. And they had them old stinking English saddles. It's about that thick. We went riding horses all day. I could not sit down for a month. And do I have to spell it out for you what happened? Some of you are going, huh, well, what's he talking about? I rubbed skin off. And you know where? I couldn't sit down. He's probably having a coronary over there. Of course, the last horse he got on, that horse threw him off. We're going up. We're going to go up to meet him, and we're coming back with him. We're going to see the vanquishing of the armies of the Antichrist. And the beautiful thing is, we're coming back, but we won't lift up a sword, a shield, a spear, a gun, or a rifle. God's going to do it all. But we're just going to have a front row seat. Did you hear what I said? We're going to have a front row seat. We're going to be, you that have done all this dirty, rotten stuff to me, it's your time, hallelujah. Oh, singers, musicians, make your way back. 300 years. Hebrews 11:5. Now we get to my text. I'm closing. Hebrews 11:5 says of Enoch, I read it to you, before his translation, he had this testimony that pleased God. So, we've got to come to the conclusion. We've got to ask the question and answer. What kind of testimony did Enoch have? And if his testimony pleased God, don't you think if we have the same testimony, it will also please God? Let me say that again. There's not 1,000 testimonies. There's just one testimony, either saved or unsaved. But if he had this testimony that pleased the Lord, as followers of the Lord and children of God, shouldn't our heart's desire to be to have the same testimony that Enoch had to please God? So what was his testimony? I'm going to tell you right now. It's the very next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The testimony that pleases God is your faith in the proper object, which is Jesus Christ. It's faith in the cross. It's faith in the cross. It's faith in, how can you say that? Because, verse 3, before we get to that, it talks about Abel. And it said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaks. Enoch knew that Abel's sacrifice was the only sacrifice that would please God. His faith was in what that lamb represented, the Lamb of God to come. Hallelujah. So for all of our detractors out there, if that's the testimony that pleases God, why ain't that your testimony? When you take him in your minion cross, how can you talk too much about victory? How can you talk too much about deliverance? How can you talk too much about justification and sanctification? Every promise of the new covenant can only come to us when our faith is securely placed in the one thing that never changes, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, what He did. We're not talking about a wooden beam. We're not talking about a tree. We're not talking about a piece of wood. We're talking about the fact that the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God, stepped out of heaven and into eternity, and on that cross bore your sins and penalties and paid the price. Therefore, oh, I got to hurry. Therefore, I'm going to go back and read another part of this verse. It said, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is. What do you mean, He is? We got to believe He is Savior. He is healer. He is deliverer. He is justification. He is sanctification. He's our manna when we're hungry. He's water when we're thirsty. When we don't know where to go, He's the cloud and the fire. He's our peace. He's our blessed hope. He's our joy. He's our prosperity. He is the wonderful. He is counselor. He's mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's everlasting Father. Not meaning that Jesus is the Father. It means that Jesus Christ is the Father of eternal salvation. Hallelujah. He is the anointed one. He is wisdom. He is the balm of Gilead. He is the head of the church. He is power, love, and a sound mind. He is creator. He's the true preacher. He's the true prophet. He's the true great high priest. He is the true shepherd. He is the true door of salvation. He is our strong tower, our place of refuge, our fortress. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is. He is. Not He will be, but He is. He is today. All that we need. Man, if I could sing, I'd sing to see that sea walker, that blind man healer, that leper cleansing man from Galilee, that soul saver, the one who died for me. Take my hand and follow me. Oh, come on, somebody. Whatever you need, He is. Whatever you need, He is. He is. He is. And once you get it right in your head who He is, your faith will be right, then your walk will be right. And you don't have to, you'll be able to say, sin does not have dominion over me. Faith, that's the testimony that pleases God. Faith, now not just any kind of faith, but faith in the right person, faith in what He did. You've heard it said, Dad said a million times, Jesus Christ is the source of all that comes to us. The cross is the means. And once we understand that, then the Holy Spirit, who works only within the parameters of the finished work of Christ, can then begin to help us walk righteous before the Lord. That's the testimony that Enoch had. And that's the testimony that I want, and you should want. And if you get your faith right, you can have your testimony right. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is. He is. He is. Hallelujah. I don't know the circumstances and the needs and the situations of your life, but I do know
there is a lot of hurting in the lives of believers. And some of you have come this morning. You've come broken. You've come spiritually bruised and battered. Things that you held dear are no longer with you. You're walking right in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. And the list could go on and on and on. But you know what? I don't have to know what problems you have, because the word of the Lord says our Lord already knows what we have need of. So I'm going to give a very simple altar call. I'm not asking those that have this problem, that problem, that problem, this problem, whatever the problem. They're going to sing whatever they feel led to sing. We're just going to have a couple of minutes around this altar, thanking the Lord that He is. We're going to get our faith right. Put your faith back in the cross. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry for trying to handle the problem on my own, but I'm coming back to the cross. I'm giving it to the Lord. You're my burden bearer. As they begin to sing it, step out from all over this building, field of. Oh, hallelujah. But I just want to remind you something. You don't have to wait until the King comes to have victory right now. The victory's already here. He's already paid for it. It's up to us to exercise proper faith and to claim the promises of God that are for each and every one of us. I'm going to ask them to sing it again, and I want you to start claiming every promise of the new covenant. It's yours. Financial blessing, physical blessing, mental blessing, your crooked path. We could be here all day and all night because the Lord has done so many good things. They're going to sing it again and just start praising Him for all the benefits of the new covenant that we have.
We shall see again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast presentation from the Sun Life Radio Network. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.